Just remain standing and turn to Matthew chapter 5. Again, if you will, Matthew chapter 5. I'm glad I have a hope that is steadfast and sure since Jesus came into my heart. Amen. Amen. And I'm glad that He's alive and well living in my heart, made a difference, made a change in me. Amen. And I thank Him for that and rejoice in the good things of God. Well, I hope that the message tonight, going to try to hook back in on this morning's message, the thought that's still on my heart, and to be honest with you, the burden that's still there, and it'd be good for us to bear a burden a little bit. Amen. The Bible talks about that it's good for the young men to bear the yoke. The idea, and that I'm just talking, it's good for young men to learn to work, but it's also good for them to get under the burden. Amen. And we need that in this day. We need some folks to get under the burden for the things of God. It does seem like, and I don't mean just to jump right, but it does seem like there's so little concern about God, God's people, God's house, God's things. It just seems like there's so little concern for that in our world today. And God help us. Amen. God help us to get back to the things of God. All right, here we are in Matthew chapter 5, and I'll start reading verse number 1. Paying attention specifically, verse 6 is the text verse. The Bible says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain where he was..." I'm sorry, let me get this on. "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Here's our text. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Verse 6, I'm going to read that verse again. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Our Father, I thank you, Lord, for the privilege of
having been in the house of God. Yes, Lord. Thank you for your blessings.
I ask you, Lord, to anoint our preacher
tonight. Help, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Help. Yes. Oh, Lord, help us. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord, you are. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Appreciate the prayer. Appreciate you standing. As we're studying this Sermon on the Mount, looking at this particular section called the Beatitudes, I really thought I'd be going a different angle tonight than where I'm at. I didn't finish my message this morning, as you know, but I hope that we got a taste of it. I believe we did. The Lord seemed to move in my heart. I believe He did in others as well. And give us a taste of what our Lord's talking about here. Blessed are the pining. That's this point that we're making. Number 4 of the Beatitudes. Blessed, I'm sorry, the panting, not the pining. The panting. The pining was the mourning. We had the poor, the poverty that we talked about there earlier. And then the spiritual pining. And then the plight was the last one, last Sunday, of the meek that shall inherit the earth. Now today we're looking at the panting. Those that are hungering and actually thirsting after righteousness. I said this morning that I do believe these one leads to the other and helps us on our steps, taking steps towards each of these. I began looking at this one, and I said, you will never reach that place of panting after God until first you recognize your bankruptcy, your poverty, literal poverty before God. Brother Bell was saying this evening as we was coming in, he said that last night's message, Brother Kuhn, and my message this morning, that these were just right where we're living. Brother Hall said something about it in the prayer room as well. These are right where we're living. I said to Brother Bell, that's what we got to have in order to get help. We've got to see in reality where we stand and recognize really what's going on and admit what's going on before we're ever going to get any help. Amen. And I thank God for the past, the things of the past. And it do you good, by the way, to read and study some of the things that have happened in the past. But we can't live back there. We got to have God now. And the same God that did it then can do it now. Amen. There's nothing too hard for our God. Matter of fact, I believe our God longs to move among His people. Amen. Amen. And I pray for a stirring. I really do. I pray for God to stir our heart. Well, I was thinking about this panting. I said there's about four or five things that I wanted to mention. And I mentioned the first one and preached about that, the aim of this panting. Our goal is righteousness. Amen. Our Lord said that blessed are they which do hunger and thirst, but it's only those that are thirsting and hungering after righteousness. Amen. That's where the blessing is. And so there's the aim of this. And I preached that thought. I'm not going to re-preach it tonight. But then I went to talking about the age or the timing of this panting. And that is right now. He said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Amen. They are doing it now. Not those that plan to. They may never get there. Amen. So many times I have, you probably have too, said, Lord, when this message is over, when I get back home, tomorrow I'm going to do different. Amen. Our Lord didn't say, blessed are those that plan to do different. He said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Amen. And I believe that as a saint, as a sinner, we long to be counted righteous. We long to have that righteousness imputed to us because we know we have none. But once we're saved, we not only want it to be imputed, we want it to be imparted. We want to walk in that. And we don't want to just be counted. We want to be part of our character, that we've got a righteous and a holy character before God. Amen. And we want a testimony that pleases our Lord and that brings respect and honor to His name, and certainly not disrespect and dishonor or shame to our Lord. Amen. So God help us with that. And we dealt with that fact that Paul said, that he's talking to saved people in Ephesians chapter 4, that he's talking, you're saved, but he said, put on the new man, which is created in Christ Jesus after good works, unto holiness and good works. And by the way, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's Ephesians 2, amen, and verse number 10. And so we ought to long for those desires. And I just touched on the third point. That's where I'll pick up tonight. But before I got there, I read to you Psalm 17:15. I had us turn and look at it. You don't have to tonight. But the psalmist made this statement. He said, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Amen. The song that the lady sang, we're going to see him face to face. I'm not going to be satisfied until I do. Matter of fact, I want to see his face here and now. Amen. I want to see him. Amen. I want others to be able to see him in our life right here and now. Amen. Old time preachers used to preach, they'd say something like this a lot of times. They'd say in their prayer, they'd say, Lord, move me out of the way, hide me behind the cross, and let them not see me, but let them see the Lord. Amen. One man said it, and he's right. They'll never see the Lord unless they see Him in us. Amen. They've got to see Him in us. And so we need to ask God to help us that we might, and here's how the Lord said it. He said that we ought to do those good works and let our light shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify thy Father which is in heaven. Not that we get the accolades and we get the pins and we get the promotion, but that Jesus gets the promotion. Jesus gets the praise and the glory for it all. Amen. And then I started, just touched on the angst or the anguish of this panting. And I'm back there in verse number 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Our Lord said that this is such a desire that He likens it to hunger and thirst. There's a few things that people will do without. You know what Solomon said? That if a man steals because he's hungry, other men can forgive him that because they understand the drive of hunger. He alludes that though he's talking about adultery, but a man that steals another man's wife, he said he won't never forget it. He'll never forget it. Amen. And that's right. But the point that he's making, the point I want to apply here, is this idea about the hunger. That hunger is a drive that sometimes, that is something that we can't understand, that has a powerful drive to it. And our Lord says that about this man hungering and thirsting after righteousness. But I notice the word "and." It's not just a hunger. He hungers and thirsts for it. It's not just a thirst. He hungers and thirsts for that righteousness. Both. He eats and drinks for the righteousness of God. That is his substance, all of it. Amen. Amen. It's all that he has. It's his entire meal. It's what he lives on. It's what he thrives on. That's what he strives for. That's what he longs for. He's hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And I just started this thought about how we're living in a day of so little spiritual appetite. When your mama fixed a big meal and you came up to the table and you said, "Mama, I'm not real hungry." She knew you'd been in the cookie jar. Amen. Knew maybe you'd had a candy bar stashed somewhere or something like it. She knew something had been, you'd been feeding on something. Amen.
Right.
Feeding on something. I'm afraid we're living in a day when people have no spiritual appetite because they're so full of the world. They're so full of the flesh. Amen. So full of right now, what's happening now, rather than thinking about eternity, rather than thinking about God. Amen. So full of material that they have no room for the spiritual things. And God help us. But listen, it would be, the average preacher would be just so enthused to see somebody with a little spiritual hunger. But Jesus said, this brother don't just have spiritual hunger. He's hungering and thirsting. He's got a real desire. He's got something beyond natural for the supernatural. Amen. And the things of God. So I got to thinking about that and thinking about these strong desires that he mentions. These are strong desires. And I've got four things about the anguish and the angst of this panting. First of all, I want you to notice the driving force that he mentions. The driving force. You let a man get hungry or his family get hungry, and he'll do all kinds of things. A man that probably never would, he might have hesitated to squash a bug. He'll bust your door down and bust your head in order to get food for his family if he's that hungry. And they're that hungry. In other words, I'm simply saying they'll go to drastic measures. There is a driving force that hunger has. By the way, in the human being, there is something that God put in there, I believe, that is a drive to survive. People want to live. They have a longing to live. Even if their life, their expectancy's not well, even though it's a limited life, yet they have a drive. There's a driving force to live, and that's what hunger has in it. It has that desire and that drive to live. Can I tell you that that's the way it ought to be about God? These blessed people that he's talking about here, they're not just naturally wanting something. It's not just that they want a little something. It's not just that they are, they appreciate a little something. No, these people have to have it. They got a driving force behind them. Amen. God help us get that serious with God. That serious with God that we've got to have God. Amen. Got to have Him. And I thought about it, not only is it a driving force, but it's a daily requirement. I ate yesterday. We had the hamburgers and hot dogs in the back at the men's meeting yesterday. And by the way, got leftovers. We'll have that tonight after the service. You're welcome to stay and eat with us there after the service. We got leftovers. But I ate till I was filled. I probably ate more than I should have eaten, especially after the way Brother Kuhn preached to us. Amen. But he missed me on the ice cream, but he got me on some other things. But I ate till I was filled and I was stuffed. But you know, I got up this morning and I was hungry again. Amen. Ate breakfast, ate lunch. I'm looking forward to eating after the service. Amen. Now, I can't honestly say that I'm hungry. Amen. But I have a desire. But here's what I was going to say. Sometimes that's how we go to church. We go to church because it's time for another meal. We're not really hungry. We just know it's meal time. God help us to get to the place that we are hungry. That we say, I can't wait to get to the table. Listen, amen. Sometimes you have meetings and people say things like this. I used to, when I'd call people about the Jubilee that would have, they'd say things like, Brother Herbert, they'd say, who you having this time? That let me know. A lot of times they was trying to decide whether they're coming or not. If I knew a man had a problem with a man, and I did a lot of times, you know, you'd have men in that you knew they had a little bit of problem. If I knew a man had a problem with a man, that man's name would be the first one I'd name, and it'd also be the last one I'd name. That way he'd know for sure that fella's going to be there. Amen. Because I didn't want to be false pretense. Really. That's right. But sometimes people have that idea. Well, who's going to be there? Listen, if you get hungry enough, it don't matter who else is at the table, who else ain't at the table. If you're hungry enough, amen. If you're hungry enough, there's that drastic, that driving force. But it's a daily requirement that we get it again and again. We feed a little bit now, and later we're going to be hungry again. We drink a little bit now, later we're going to be thirsty again. Amen. It is a daily requirement. I believe this. These saints that our Lord's talking about here, they can't go days upon days without the presence of God. They got a hunger that keeps coming back. They can't just go and go and go and never read God's Word, or never feast on God's Word, or never feel God's presence, or never delight in God's presence. Amen. They never have that communion and that communication with God. They can't go day upon end. They've got to have it daily. Amen. That's what the hunger ought to be in our life. There's a driving force. There's a daily requirement. And then the third one, there's durable desires. This hunger and thirst, as I said, can be satisfied only momentarily. Amen. Only momentarily. I believe that is synonymous with the desire for God and for godliness. We reach a certain point in our life and we rejoice that we've reached that point. But it's not long. We want to go a little further. Amen. And we get some blessings of God and we feel the presence of God and we rejoice in that particular meeting with God. But it's not long that we want it again. We say, Lord, do it again. Touch me again, Lord. Amen. We get back to that point needing God again. Amen. I remember hearing Brother Milby telling, so y'all know how Brother Milby can say things in a quaint way. And he was telling about how that he was driving through the mountains. I don't remember if he's headed to North Carolina from Kentucky or headed back to Kentucky from North Carolina. But he said he was feeling a little bit sort of depressed, despondent. And he's thinking about how that, you know, he'd had some great meetings with God. Maybe all of them was in the past. And he got to thinking about, you know, maybe I ought to just sit back and think about the past and just sit back and, you know, let the world go on and quit running the roads, quit trying to meet with God, just enjoy what I have had in the past. And he said the Lord come and settled down in his car there just a little bit. And he said he got to weeping. He said the tears got to running out of his eyes. He said the joy bells got to ringing down in his soul and it got to bubbling up in his soul. And he said to the Lord, Lord, I may be a hog. I may be a hog, but he said, I want to be a hog for Jesus. Amen. He said, I want to be back at the trough again. I want to be feeding at the table again. I need God again. I say, amen. That's exactly where we ought to be. It ought to be a driving force. It ought to be a daily thing and it ought to be a durable thing that keeps coming back. Amen. Even more and more distinct. We want to see Him even more and more distinct. Oh, I want to see Him. Amen. You remember those days of courtship? Just to hear her voice, woo, make your heart turn cartwheels. Just to see Him, oh, what a blessing. And you could ride on it. They say, you know, you could live on love for a certain amount of time.
But wasn't long, you wanted to see them again. Amen. Matter of fact, the fact that you saw them made you want to see more. Amen. Made you want to be with them more. Made you want to enjoy that fellowship more. And it worked out to finally, you said, I got to have her. I got to have him. One of them is going to have to ask the other to marry the other one. Amen. Amen. My point is this thing with Jesus, it's a durable thing. The more we meet with him, the more we ought to want to meet with him. Amen. I want him more and more and more. These hunger pains. Let me give you the last one on this anguish, this panting. Not only is it a driving force, and it's a daily routine, it's a durable desire, but hunger and thirst are actually dire and dreadful torments to the body. You get hungry, you can't think about much else. You get really thirsty, your tongue starts cleaving to the roof of your mouth. You can't hardly get your mouth to open. You can't think of anything else. It consumes you. I believe that's the analogy our Lord is trying to draw here from this case. Amen. The fact that we will find no rest. We will obtain no comfort. We will never be satisfied until we have found Christ. We have feasted upon Christ. We have fellowshiped in His presence. And we have fed upon the Word of God. We've got to have Him. It's getting to that point that we have to. That's the point that I'm trying to make. That angst, the anguish, and the desire. Turn with me. I'll show you some scripture in the book of Isaiah. We're going to look at Isaiah and Psalms, a couple of them. And these are not by any means all of them. I got several verses, but these are just a smattering of verses. Psalm, or Isaiah 51 will be the first one. Isaiah 51 and verse number 1. Isaiah 51, verse number 1. Hearken to me. Here's my phrase. Ye that follow after righteousness. Ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Here God's saying, He's saying, if you're hungering after God, if you're following after righteousness, and you're seeking the Lord, He said, I've got something for you to look at. And of course, He's showing us what He's done for us, how He rescued us out of the pit of hell, amen. And out of the miry clay of sin, amen. But He's talking about hungering and thirsting after God. Hold your place there in Isaiah 51. Turn back to Psalm number 38. And I'll run through these in Psalm. We'll be in sequence. Then we'll go back to Isaiah and jump around a little bit. Psalm 38, verse number 10. This is a Psalm of David. My heart panteth. My strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. He's talking about this desire of his heart. He says, my heart panteth. There's a thirst. That thirst is so strong that he said, my strength faileth me. The light of my eyes, he said, I'm dying. I've got to have God. I've got such a hunger. I've got such a thirst. All right, turn to Psalm 42 and verse number 1. And two, to the chief musician, Miskel, for the sons of Korah, the header. The Bible says, as the heart, that's the deer he's talking about, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Amen. The psalmist, by the way, he was a hunter. He knew about those things. He knew that when a deer is wounded, when a deer is hunted and haunted, it's scared for its life. That deer longs to get to the water, especially if it's wounded, but he'll long for that water. But he said, it's like my tongue's hanging out of my mouth. I'm running. I've expended all my strength. I've expended all my energy because I'm longing. But it's not just water I'm longing for. He said, I'm longing for God. I've got to have God. That's what he's talking about. Amen. That's where we got to get. Amen. Psalm 63. This is a Psalm of David. Psalm 63, verses 1 and 2 again. the header, a Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. Why? Why? My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Amen. Now there is something something pretty powerful there. Not just his soul longing for God, not just his spirit longing for God. He said, even my flesh is longing for God. Amen. I remember hearing Brother Larry Rain say that he believed that a man could get to that point that he so longed for God that he had his soul and his spirit under such control that even his flesh could long for God. Amen. The psalmist said that's where he was. I've got to have God. That's what he's saying. Such a longing. Can you see the angst in that man's cry? The anguish in his voice. And by the way, these are not just words he's throwing out there. These are not just good songs to be sung. This is a literal burning desire in this man's soul. Psalm 119, verse 20. Psalm 119, verse 20. Again, see the psalmist in his anguish. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. My soul breaketh for the longing. He said, it's such a heavy burden on me that I think my soul is going to break. Turn to Psalm 143 and verse number 6. Such a thirst as a hart panteth after the water brooks. Such a thirst, my soul longs for thee. My flesh longs for thee. Such a thirst, my soul is near to breaking, he said. Such a thirst. Look at Psalm 143, verse number 6. Another Psalm of David. He says, I stretch forth mine hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land, Selah. As a thirsty land. You ever seen a desert? You can pour water on that desert and it evaporates if it's in the hot of the day. But that sand just sucks it up, buddy. Just sucks it up. I'm telling you, that's how it ought to be with us. We come to the house of God and our heart ought to be so heavy. Our heart ought to be so in tune with heaven that we just soak it up and suck it in, amen, and take every drop and drain the cup dry for the glory of God, amen. Get that hungry. For God. There's some people that are hungry for the world. Amen. I mean, they'll pay big time money to be able to go sit sometimes on a hard cement bleacher to watch a game, to let people throw up on them, spill their beer on them, curse them, everything else. Amen. Try to sell them a hot dog, 3 prices for 1 hot dog. Amen. They'll sit through all that, and then you know what they're doing? They're hoping that it'll go into overtime. They're not looking at their watch saying, when's this thing going to be over? They're not saying, I wonder when we're going to get out of here. They're saying, I hope it keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. You know why? Because they love it. That's what they live for. Amen. God help us to have a hunger for God that, by the way, ought to far exceed that. But it ought to at least equal that. Amen. Amen. It ought to far exceed it. I'll go back to Isaiah chapter number 44. We looked at 51. We'll go to 44. This is a great verse of Scripture. This verse was used in Duncan Campbell's telling of the revival at Lewis. He said they used this verse and prayed this verse. Isaiah 44 and verse number 3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. Oh, the psalmist said, I'm thirsty, Lord. He said, I'm so thirsty for thee. I'm not thirsting after the world. I'm not thirsting after foolishness. I'm thirsting for Thee. He said, I'm so thirsty my soul is thirsty. I'm so thirsty that my flesh is thirsty for Thee. I'm so thirsty that I feel like my soul will break. I'm as thirsty as a desert land is, Lord. I'm that thirsty. And God said, here's what I'll do. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods, amen, praise God, upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. Amen. God's saying, listen, if you'll get thirsty, I'm looking for somebody that's thirsty. Amen. You remember our Lord spoke to that woman at the well about a thirst. She thought he's talking about water in the well. He's talking about thirsty in her soul. And he said, if thou hadst known the gift of God, or if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Amen. Our Lord goes from there, John 4, our Lord goes from there about 5 or 6, now I forgot, and he talks again about thirsty, people that are thirsty. He goes to chapter 7, and he says to them on that last day, that great day of the feast, our Lord stands and says, he says, if you're thirsty, anybody, listen, his point is this, anybody that's thirsty, I know where the water is. Matter of fact, I've got water, and I've got enough water that I can satisfy your thirst. He was longing for somebody to get thirsty for him. Amen. I believe it's the same truth today. I believe God's still longing for somebody in 2017 to say, I've got to have you, God. I won't be satisfied with anything else. I can't be satisfied with anything else. I'm thirsting for God. Amen. One more in Isaiah 55. A verse of salvation, but again, a verse of thirst. Verse 1, Isaiah 55, verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters and buy. Come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Amen. God said, I've got what you need, and it won't cost you a dime. Amen. All you got to do is come if you're thirsty. Amen. Oh, I believe that's still what we need in this world. I long to see that in sinners. I long to see sinners get sick of their sin and sick of the world's ways, sick of these religious tricks, sick of these shenanigans that thinks they're going to be all right and go like they're going and just get hungry for God and nothing else. Amen. But I long to see that in the saints of God too. Not just in sinners. I long to see it in saints of God. They get tired of just wasting their time. He says in verse number 2 of Isaiah 55, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Amen. God said, listen, why are you spinning your wheels on everything instead of just coming to me? Amen. There's the angst, the anguish of that desire. Let me give you the last one. There's the award. The award. We might say reward. Sometimes a reward's what you deserve. Sometimes an award is what you deserve. This is a case we don't deserve. But if we'll be hungry, he said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Here it is, for they shall be filled. Amen. He made a promise to us. You might call it an announcement if you didn't want to call it an award. He made an announcement. He made a promise to us. And the promise to this spiritual hungering and this spiritual thirsting is a filling. Amen. And I believe it's a spiritual filling. I believe it stands clear that which he longs for, that which he thirsts after, that which he hungers after is what he will be filled with. Amen. I believe if we wanted to say here, and I believe it is, that if this man's desire in righteousness, he shall be filled with righteousness. If this man's desire in God, He shall be filled with God. If this man's desiring to have holiness and sanctification, he'll be filled with holiness, amen, and sanctification. If this man desires a new heart, he will be given a new heart. If this man desires a new life, he will be given a new life. If this man desires to be somewhere where there's no more sin and he's now made perfect, he will reach that place, thank God, where no sin can enter and we will be perfect forevermore, amen. But there's got to be a hunger. The promise is to them. I said to you before, there's that word that Mr. Butler said, the word they is a Greek word that means they and only they. Not everybody's going to get that. Not everybody's going to get that. I know get on some dangerous territory in a way. There's a lot of questions some people have, for example, about salvation. Should a man seek it? Well, our Lord said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Our Lord said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Right? Amen. Somewhere there is something that God gives you the opportunity. God sets the door there, and it's up to you to whether you're going to go through or not. It's up to you whether you want it or not. Amen. I talked to you about how that your mama would fix a good meal. If you sat down and you wasn't hungry, she knew you'd been eating on something else. There was a family in Brother Raines' church years ago. Brother Hall probably knew him. Brother Larry Townsend went to St. Lucia as a missionary. Brother Townsend had a bunch of kids, about 8 or 10 kids. First large family I ever met, Brother Townsend had them. Brother Townsend and Brother Raines said it. Brother Raines said that when he has people in their church that say, for example, they say, I just can't get my kid to eat beans. He said, send them to Brother Townsend's house. And they'll eat beans and thank you for them. And so somebody asked him, said, how, Brother Townsend said, how do you get them to do that? He said, well, you just set it in front of them. If they don't want it, you tell them that's all you're getting. You're not getting anything else. And when they come back to the table the next meal, that's what they're going to have. They're not getting anything else. He said they may refuse it for a day or two, but he said about the third day, they'll thank you for them beans. Amen. We're spoiled. I'll just be honest with you. We are spoiled in our society today that we don't just eat to live, to sustain. We eat to be satisfied. We eat to feel what we want. We eat what we want, when we want. Really, we do. Amen. Really, we do. I'm telling you this thing about God. We ought to get to the place. We don't want anything else. We'll never be satisfied with anything else but Him is what I'm saying. Amen. And that which you want, you will be filled with. He promises you that. I believe it's right. Amen. He will give us the filling. We'll match the hunger. Whatever you're hungering after, He'll fill you with it. Amen. If I say it's righteousness, and that righteousness covers a lot of things. Sanctification or salvation. Amen. And I believe we can have that. Let me point out two things about this award. First of all, it's a limited award. It is limited. Amen. It's limited to only those that hunger and thirst after it. To only those that hunger and thirst after it. I put this note in here, and this is really a little bit where I got this morning when God broke my heart. We're living in a world today when many in our world, they're not filled with righteousness, and they have to admit they don't even hunger after righteousness. They're satisfied right where they're at. Amen. The average church attendee is perfectly satisfied with going to church on Sunday, week in and week out, with absolutely nothing being gained and nothing being changed in their soul and their life. They're satisfied with that. Matter of fact, they're fine with it because they're not seeking some life-changing experience. Matter of fact, they'd get uncomfortable if somebody else did start seeking after that life-changing experience. It'd mess up the program. It would hurt their feelings a little bit. If people started flocking down the aisles and started begging God to help them, to fill them, to give them what their soul desires after. If people started falling in the aisles or falling between the pews or the chairs and getting a hold of the horns of the altar of God. Amen. It's not this altar you need to have the horns of. It's the horns of the altar of heaven you need to have a hold of. Amen. Amen. But it would mess them up. It would disturb them. I mean, they're worried about getting to the restaurant in time for lunch. Amen. They're interested in going to the mall or going to the shopping center or going to grandma's for lunch. They're not interested in meeting with God. They didn't come to meet with God. They come to the table because it's mealtime. They're not hungry. The average person, that is exactly where they are. Satisfied with that. Week in, week out. Week in, week out. No time for God. No desire for God to do anything extraordinary. Amen. These people do not have the promise of a filling. Jesus didn't say, I'll fill you whether you want it or not. Amen. God, in those scriptures I read, especially Isaiah, He said, I'll pour water on the thirsty land. On the dry and thirsty land. Amen. You can be dry and not be thirsty. There's a lot of people dry and they have no thirst for God. I mean, they're spiritually dry. Them bones in Ezekiel's day was dry bones. Amen. They didn't have no desire for God. God done something amazing. Showed him as prophetic what God was going to do there. I want to tell you, there's a world full of people just as dry as those dry bones and just as delinquent in thirst. But if we'll get thirsty, He's made us a promise that He'll fill it. Amen. It's a limited promise, award. Secondly, it's a liberal promise. Amen. It's a liberal promise. I want you to notice what He said. Blessed, verse 6 of Matthew 5. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall get a drop. For they shall get a servant on the platter. That's not what He says. For they shall be filled. Amen. Amen. For they shall be filled. Not just get a taste of it. Not just get a touch of it. Get all of God that we can get. Amen. And get filled with God. That's what we ought to long for. You remember on the day of Pentecost, the house was filled, the Bible said, and the people were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Solomon's dedication of the temple, the house was filled with the presence of God, so filled that the priest couldn't get in there to offer. Amen. Wouldn't it be a blessing if we could just get filled with God? You say, what would it look like, preacher? I don't really know. But I guarantee it'd be wonderful. Amen. It'd be wonderful. Filled. They shall be filled. I believe it's saying this. They'll have enough and more than enough. Amen. Amen. That's God's way of doing things, isn't it? Amen. You remember when that woman came to Elisha? Now I've forgotten which one it was. Maybe Elisha. And she said, I've got these two sons and the creditor's going to come. I don't have none. He said, what you got in your house? She said, just all I got is a little cruse of oil. He said, you take that and go borrow a bunch of vessels, borrow not a few. And you go pour that. She poured and poured and poured and poured and poured and poured and poured. And you know what she had? She had enough to pay off her debt and then some. He said, you go and live on the rest. Amen. I'm telling you, that's how good our God is. If we'll get hungry after God, we can be filled and then some. Amen. We can have more than we ever thought we could have. It is a liberal promise that our Lord gives us. Amen. They shall have enough and more. They shall have enough and then some. Our God's not just a supplier. Our God is a bountiful supplier. Amen. Amen. Romans 5:20. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read you about three verses right here real quick. Four verses. Romans 5:20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen. I'm telling you, the same God that did it there in the book of Romans is doing it today. Amen. I don't know how bad a sinner your boy is. I don't know how bad a sinner your girl is. I don't know how bad a sinner your loved one is. But I know how good a Savior I've got. Amen. And He's able to meet that and answer that prayer and meet that need. If we'll get hungry and they'll get hungry for the things of God. Amen. I believe, listen. I know that I can't get saved for somebody else, but there is something about getting under such a burden and such a load. That woman, Syrophoenician woman, came to the Lord. She is of the wrong sect of people. She's a Gentile. She was the wrong sex. She couldn't come claim nothing in him. She's not going to tell him what to do. But she comes with a daughter. And she comes with a burden. And she come not going to be denied. And she said, if I can't have all of you, Lord, just give me a crumb. Amen. Brother Hall, she said, I'll be satisfied with a crumb. Amen. I think about the song Joshua sings. I asked him for water, and he gave me the well. Amen. That's what that woman got. She didn't just get a crumb. She got a blank checkbook with the thing signed. And he said, woman, be it unto thee as thou wilt. Amen. Amen. He just gave her heaven's checkbook. Said, anything you want. It's how come she had a hunger and a thirst that wouldn't be satisfied any other way. Amen. Amen. Now, and I know, listen, I know we got to be careful, but I believe this. We can have such a burden for our loved ones, even if they don't want God. They can be hundreds of miles away, and we have the right kind of burden that we can ring the prayer bells of heaven, and God may very well. He don't have to. He don't know what does. I'm not saying we twist his arm and we make him do something. Don't get that thought. But God may very well, because he's a good God, because he's so full of grace, because he's so full of mercy, he may very well reach all the way out there where that prodigal is and bring him home. Amen. Where sin abounded. Well, it's pretty bad. Sin. Matter of fact, Brother Anderson said, up to my neck in sin, but grace did much more abound. Amen. The grace of God was higher than sin could ever be. Thank God that's right. Amen. James 1:5. Here's what he said. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men. How does he give it? Liberally. And upbraideth not. Amen. God loves a cheerful giver and he loves a liberal giver. You know why? Because he's a liberal giver. He gives abundantly. Amen. Even above that which we can ask or think. Amen. Psalm 36, verse 7 and 8. Here's what the psalmist said. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. And thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. Amen. Are you thirsty? He won't just give you a drop. He won't even just give you a cup. He'll give you a river. That's what he's saying. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You remember that prodigal son in Luke 15? He's in the hog pen. His pride is crushed. He's lost it all. He's not just living in filth of sin. He's living in physical filth. And sometimes those things do sort of go together. He's down there in that hog pen, and something stirred in him. I don't know what caused it, but he got hungry. That's the first thing you find, Brother Herbert. He got hungry. He would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. He got hungry. And he said, how many of the hired servants in my father's house have bread enough and to spare? He got hungry. He said, I'd like to have what the hogs has got, but ain't nobody even offering me that. He got so hungry, he said, I'd be glad to be able to sit down at the table with the servants. Just eat what the servants have got. Maybe not get a servant's platter, maybe not have a servant's place, just get some of the leftovers, because they've got more than enough. But he got home and he wasn't offered hog slop.
Right.
And he wasn't offered a servant's platter. Daddy had a calf that had been in that stall the whole time. Woo! Woo! He's hungry. He ain't just got a steak. He's got the whole beef. Amen. He's got the whole thing. I'm telling you, that's how good our God is. Amen. He's a liberal giver. Amen. Amen. He's a liberal giver. Let me find my place. I believe when sinners get hungry for God, they will find Him available and ample to supply their need. Amen. I believe when Americans, and it's not just for Americans, but that's who I'm preaching to. I believe when people get hungry for God and revival, we'll find Him available and ample to supply our need. I know the day's dark. I know we're living in perilous times. I know these are dangerous days. But I believe God can still do it. I believe God can still do it. Let me ask a question. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? He can if there's hungry people there. He can if there's hungry people there. The psalmist said this, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You know what he said about his cup? I ain't got half a cup. I don't even have just a full cup. My cup's running over. My cup runneth over. How did that happen? He's got a Father like we've got a Father that gives liberally to them that genuinely hunger and thirst after righteousness. Amen. One more scripture. Turn to Psalm 107. I'll close with this. Psalm 107. You know this psalm has a plea over and over. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. What they got to praise Him for? For His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men. The first time that statement is said in that way is verse number 8. Look at it if you will. Verse number 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Look at verse 9. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Amen. Again, I know we're living in dark days, but can God furnish a table in the wilderness? I know there's so much hypocrisy, there's so much getting people's attention, there's so much going on. I just ask the question, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? You know He can. He did it. That's Psalm 85. That's what He's talking about. He did it. He did it again and again. For 40 years, every day, God spread a table in the wilderness. He's done it in the past. You can read historical accounts of real revival. I know there's some fake. Brother Steve and I have talked about some of that. Joshua and I have talked about some of that. There's fake and phony. And there'll be enough. If real fire falls, there'll be false fire follows. That's how it is. But oh, how we ought to long for the real fire. We ought to be a hungry soul, he talks about here in verse number 9. We ought to be a longing soul that he talks about there. Amen. I heard a song on Brother Jim Rowland's broadcast yesterday. I don't know if you heard it. It's a pastor somewhere here in Kentucky sang it. I'd never heard it. Heard him. I'd heard the song before. I think Brother Kuhn, it's on that CD you loaned me. I forgot the guy's name. But Jack Holcomb, all right? And I looked it up on YouTube, and I found it. I don't know if I can sing it. The verse and the chorus, bless my heart. Here's what it says. When I, poor lost sinner, before the Lord did fall, and in the name of Jesus for pardon loud did call, He heard my supplication, and soon the weak was strong. For Jesus took my burden and left me with a song. Yes, Jesus took my burden I could no longer bear. Yes, Jesus took my burden in answer to my prayer. My anxious fears subsided. My spirit was made strong. When Jesus took my burden, and left me with a song. Have you got a burden? Have you got a burden? Here's what he said. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Let's stand. We're going to have a song. Give you an opportunity to respond as the Lord leads you. Listen, I don't want us to think this is something quick. We just go down there and get it and get it over. Move. Listen, I want something that'll last. I want something that's real. I want a burden for God that will not be satisfied. That I'm going to believe maybe today, amen. It's got to be today, amen. Lord, I got to have you. I got a longing soul. I got a soul that's about to break for longing after thee. My spirit longeth and thirsteth after thee. My flesh longeth and thirsteth after thee. That's what I want in my heart. Father, thank you for the reminder of what a good God you are. For the reminder, Lord, how you feel that longing that's in our soul. Lord, help us. Lord, stir it up. Stir it up, Lord, I pray, that hunger after thee. Stir up in us, dear God, that desire that'll get up early if we have to, that'll skip meals if we have to, that'll stay up late if we have to, that'll go out a little further, that'll do a little more. Not that we could entice you to do it, but because we beg you, Lord, because we need you so bad. Lord, I pray for loved ones. My heart breaks when I hear about young people making bad decisions. Young people messing up their life. Young people tainting and tarnishing their testimony. It breaks my heart, Lord. Father, I pray you'd help us to long for thee until we're filled. Lord, to have that daily longing, that durable longing, that dreadful, dire longing for thee, that'll be a driving force, that we'll find ourselves at the feet of the cross begging for your mercy and begging for your help. Please help us, Lord Jesus. Have your way in the invitation. In Christ Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We're going to sing. If you need to come, obey the Lord. Whatever He says, do.
162.
Whatever He says, do. Just do it.